You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
So Bills Colts, Josh, that should be fun, right? We're not overlooking them, are we?
The Bills play a game this week?
It's not Chiefs week yet. I'm having a tough time with that, Josh. I'm having a very, very tough time with that.
It's hard because I want to say that and be completely serious, but I'm not. I'm honestly, like, everyone thought last week might be a trap game. I'm scared about this one.
This is the one for you.
This is the one where I'm scared because Jonathan Taylor, first of all, when he did that to the Bills, not only did he do that to the Bills, he did that to me in a fantasy football game to, like, I don't remember what week that was in that year, but it just tanked my fantasy season. Whether it was playoffs or, like, close to playoffs, for whatever reason, I didn't win a championship that year because of Jonathan Taylor. I can't remember if it was playoffs or, like, just outside of playoffs, but he's the reason why one of my best fantasy football teams did not win the championship.
That's a shame. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I don't want to say I am overlooking the Colts, but I am at a point now where, like, I am very much directing most of my energy towards next Sunday at 4:25. Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And
right.
I don't feel great about it, but, like, I'm a fan. Like, that's what I'm going to end up doing is just, we're going to get to tweets here in just a second because I put out the vibe check and how are we feeling. And you can join the show as well, 803-0550, the number to call. How are you feeling about this Sunday? But, like, since, like, week three, I've been looking forward to January. They started the season 3-0, and I was like, cool. All right. So all the fears that they're not going to be a playoff team, those were exaggerated. We're going to be fine. I'll see you in January. Now we're kind of getting through the season. Some of the big games are coming up, Kansas City, San Francisco, Detroit, what have you. I'm finding myself looking more forward to these, and I'm not going to fight against it either. I won't be watching this game. I'm going to be catching up on it as I go. I'm going to be in a Charlotte airport for the entirety of the game. So, I mean, that's going to be a big reason why, is that I'm going to be trying to catch up on it on Twitter rather than, like, fully watching it. And part of me is also like, I mean, we talked with Kevin Bowen yesterday, and even the rushing yards point. We brought up Jonathan Taylor, and he goes, well, he was great with Anthony Richardson. He's less so with Joe Flacco. And so that kind of leads me to think, like, okay, all right. Like, so am I, like, freaking out a little bit too much? Because I think you're right. A lot of Bills fans, especially after seeing what Devon Achane was able to do last week, what Derek Henry was able to do a few weeks ago, there is some nerves. Now, I will say, I know Joe and Jeremy brought it up, the rush defense is not a disaster. I just look up real quick here in terms of yards per game. They're 15th in the league at 123.4. I do know, though, that, like, the Seattle game probably played a big part into that. I think they gave up like 39 total rushing yards and was like good for like 1.8 yards per carry.
Right.
But I think that is something too of like you look at the two rushing games that got them as bad as they did. I think one, a big part of it with Baltimore was that's how they build their offense. Their offense is built to beat you running the ball. Plus, you do have to worry about the running ability of Lamar Jackson. You always have to worry about that. Doesn't matter how good of a team you are, you have to worry about that. And then with the Dolphins, it was how quickly they're getting the ball out of Tua's hands, whether that be quick handoffs to get it to Devon Achane or him throwing the ball. I think also it was just a poor run defensive game by the Bills. They did not set the edge well at all. I think that's completely fair to say. I don't look at the Colts, though, even with Jonathan Taylor as a game that I'm thinking like, here we go. I mean, they're going to score all over them. Like, they're just going to dominate time of possession. And I don't know. They're only a four-point favorite. I think four and a half, depending on. Four and a half.
Most, like, I think every single book has them at 4.5.
And so for that, I'm sitting there looking and going, you'll be fine. I guess. Like, in the worst way, I'm sitting there, like, you'll be fine. They're getting somewhat healthier. We'll see about the additions of Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson. I like that Sean McDermott, when speaking with the media about it, wasn't like immediately like they're going to slot right in. Even though they are, I think, I mean, they signed one-year deals. They're right to the 53-man roster, but he's like, we got to see what shape they're in and stuff like that. They haven't played all that much this year.
Yeah. I think they'll the getting in shape point is a good point, but I do think they'll be key pieces of this team. I mean, it's not like the defensive structure has changed all that much since they left. I mean, especially for Jordan Phillips, it was, what, a year ago? right?
For Phillips?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I thought he left a while ago.
No, because he left and came back and then left again, I thought.
Oh, I'm probably thinking of Quentin Jefferson.
You are thinking of Quentin Jefferson.
Yeah, because I was going to say.
Quentin Jefferson was here for 1 year in 2020, which, again, that's not super long ago, but at the same time, the defense hasn't changed that much.
Phillips spent time here in 23. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, okay. And then this year it's been New York and the Cowboys. Because Jefferson, I was talking with WBEN's Lucas Buckley yesterday, and we were both like, do you remember Quentin Jefferson? And we're both like, kinda.
Very little.
Kinda do.
Very little.
Very little, though, yeah. So, yeah. Phillips was here last year, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, no, and like I said, like I think that maybe they won't be factors right away this week, but this is kind of a nice ramp-up week for next week, right? Like, this is, again, not trying to overlook the Colts, but if you're going to have your guys come in on short notice, essentially, and play a soft opponent, this is kind of the week to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you have to worry about is Jonathan Taylor. I mean that seriously. Like, Joe Flacco has shown me nothing in terms of, you know, what he had last year and anything he had coming into this season. If Michael Pittman's out, then you have to watch Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, and Adonai Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bills' secondary can contain that. I'm saying that not so confidently, well, but at the same time.
I'm saying that fairly confidently. I mean, you're getting Christian Benford back.
Mm-hmm.
I think the safeties have been fine. We've got a lot of calls on especially before the trade deadline of what do you want to see the Bills add? And safety was, I would say was number one. Defense as a whole was number one, but I would say safeties kind of led the way there. They've been fine. The Bills clearly like DeMar Hamlin better than most fans. I would fully say that. I would also like to see more of Cole Bishop. We'll see if that starts to happen now that Mike Edwards, I mean, he barely played on defense anywheres. It's more, you know, Taylor yeah. Rapp, DeMar Hamlin, and then Cole Bishop, I think is going to be the future guy going forward. But they're getting healthier on the secondary with having both Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford back. You saw how important he was to the defense. You saw how important Teron Johnson was to the defense when he was out as well. I guess a big thing for me, too, is I thought Miami played the perfect game last Sunday. Like, that was a major part of it for me, is they played the perfect game. That was Tua, by a mile and a half, his best game against the Bills. And they still lost. Did the Bills play perfect? No. I've already mentioned the edge setting was terrible by the Bills' defense.
Yeah. But again,
and they still won. I look at the Colts. I can't see the Colts ever playing a game that Miami did. I can't see the Colts playing a game that Baltimore did.
I
can't see it.
I think you look at the edge setting thing, though, and I wonder how much that has to do with the fact that they get the Dolphins get the ball out so quickly. Right, like I think that you couldn't really establish anything on the edge with Greg Rousseau and Von Miller mm-hmm. because of the fact that Tua would just get the ball, get it out of his hands. Mm-hmm. Like it's something where it's like, yes, you want your edge rushers to be able to get in there, but if he's getting the ball that fast, mm-hmm. I don't really know if they can get in there faster.
Yeah,
right. Like because they did have there was one highlight of I think it was Greg Rousseau.
It was really early in the game. It was a high snap, and he's able to go in and get a sack.
Yeah, and he put the dude in a blender to get around him. And yeah. It's like you have to have a perfect swim move or spin move or some kind of move to get around the tackle every single time to be able to get to the Dolphins effectively.
Yeah,
and that's why they're mm-hmm. becoming a little, you know, there's potential for them to be dangerous. I should say.
Yeah,
the Colts are a completely different team. They don't really play with that play style. They don't have the wide receivers to do that. They don't have the quarterback to do that. I mean, Joe Flacco can get the ball out, sure, but he's not Tua.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm not saying that's anything great or anything like that, but mm-hmm. at the same time, Joe Flacco's almost 40. The only thing they do have, again, is Jonathan Taylor. That's the one piece that terrifies me week in and week out.
Also sounds like Michael Pittman. So, I mean, even like one of the receivers, Michael Pittman, did not practice yesterday with a back right. and a finger injury. And talking with Kevin Bowen yesterday, he was kind of even up there in terms of like, I mean, they're having him play, but he's had 2 catches off 10 targets over the last 2 weeks.
Is it one of those things where it's like kind of a, he really wants to play, but he probably shouldn't because of the injury. And they're just like, well, we have nobody else, so let's just do it.
I mean, it could be that.
Because you've seen athletes do this in every single sport where they have yeah. something lingering and they're just, no, coach, I'm fine. Okay, I guess we'll play you then. And then it's like,
I think
you know,
terrible
you get that.
Is I blame that on the coaching staff.
Right, no, for sure.
Baker Mayfield is maybe the perfect mm-hmm. example in Cleveland where his play was clearly compromised by an injury.
Yeah.
He played through it, the team got worse, and then they punished him for it.
Right.
I think you could almost, I don't think, I'm not saying the Colts are going to punish Michael Pittman for playing bad now, but mm-hmm. like,
to Kevin's point yesterday, he clearly doesn't look right.
Yeah,
two catches off 10 yards or off 10 targets, not good by any means.
Right, and I'm not saying that at all is Pittman's fault. I think, like you said, the coaching staff needs to step in and say, look, like, we understand you want to play, and we understand you're probably one of our best players, but you can't play right now.
Yeah, but like
that,
no,
like there's at this point for the Colts this season, I'm not saying it's a lost season for them, but it kind of is. You don't really want to hurt a player that could help you in the long run. Same with a guy like Jonathan Taylor. Not to say you don't play Jonathan Taylor, but if a guy is hurt or potentially like lingering or dealing with an injury, why even try to sacrifice him? And for what? A win to make you, what are they, 2-7 right now?
No, actually, they're in a weirdly solid spot. They're 4-5.
Oh, geez, that makes it so much harder.
That's the weird spot with the Colts, where like they feel like a team that has two wins. Because I mean, you bench Anthony Richardson, and the vibes there are really off. But it's like, well, actually, you've won games.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying they're going to make a run for the playoffs now, but like you've won games. Yeah. You've been okay. You're about a 500 football team.
I really thought they were much worse than that in terms of win loss. I
feel like even they think they're way worse than that. So you're not off.
I mean, if you look at the way they're setting themselves up, it kind of feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's tough to look at them and say, "Yeah, no, they're a team that's 4-5 in a bad bad division, and like maybe they can eke something out in terms of wild card." Maybe.
I always, my thing though too on that, like I'm not for how the Colts have handled the Anthony Richardson thing, mainly because I don't care for, we got to make a wild card. Like, right. Who cares?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh has been doing that for years of they show up to the wild card and they get killed.
Yeah.
And the season feels lost by week six, but they're just going to be good enough to get in.
Mm-hmm.
It was, that's where for me too, after the Bills broke the playoff drought, then it became, okay, but now you need to, like, compete in the playoffs. That's why it was so important to not keep Tyrod Taylor, but go get Josh Allen. Or just go get a franchise quarterback rather than, we'll just be here, we'll be happy to be, middling, and just show up for our yearly, butt-whooping in the wild card round. The Colts are already there with how many different quarterbacks they've had since Andrew Luck retired. We went through that yesterday. 10 of them. Anthony Richardson's the only guy in those years to start in two different seasons. They keep going back to that well. They gave up on Richardson after 10 starts. And I guess that's a big part of it, too, for me, is I just don't look at the Colts right now as a serious organization. I look at the Bills as a very serious organization and a very well-run organization for all the complaints we have. And that's where I cannot see them dropping games like this. Even you look at this year, too. The games they dropped were to a talented Houston team, which ultimately, after they saw their issues in that game and the Baltimore game, they addressed them immediately by going to get Amari Cooper, a week later after they beat the Jets.
Yes.
And then for Baltimore's one of the best teams in football. Mm-hmm. And it's a bad trick play call away from you maybe making it a game.
The momentum side of things.
But to be fair, you're not going to win them all.
Yeah.
Even in the Bills' best seasons, they're going to have like 3 or 4 losses.
Right. But I look at the Colts in terms of what they are as a franchise, and I think we see this in football more than any other sport, is you have ownership groups and management groups not ready to just let go and start fresh.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are one of the few teams that have done that in recent memory, in my opinion. And you look at the Steelers, they've done that for years. You look at the Colts right now, I don't know if the Bengals are quite there yet. The Cowboys are definitely one of those teams where it's, oh, we're just going to keep running it back with Dak. It'll work eventually. At some point, you have to pull the plug and just restart. I mean, the Bears have done that 3 times now, essentially. Mm-hmm. They did it with Mitch Trubisky. Didn't work. Waited a little too long with that one. Did it with Justin Fields. Didn't wait too long. Now you have Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, and you might be heading in the right direction, kind of. You still have some work to do, but you're at least going somewhere. It's not like you're just stagnant. There's other teams in here, too. The Seahawks are kind of that way, but they had to pivot really quick when Russell Wilson left, so like I can't really fault them yet because they still have been somewhat successful.
Yep.
But I just look at teams like that, and especially like the Colts, like we're looking at this week. I just don't understand why you can't just let go, move on, and start fresh. I know it's hard, and it's hard to convince a fan base to go through quote unquote a rebuild. But with the Colts, it's if you would have done this when Andrew Luck retired. Right.
Rather than try to. Well, I think that's
like now it's awkward and hard because you've been waiting so long. But if you did it in 2019,
but go back to that season though.
they had just ascended to like, oh, we're going to be really good.
Yeah.
Oh, we're here. Like, Luck is healthy. The offensive line's awesome. We've got young weapons, what have you. Like, that was stunning when he retired because they were building towards it.
That was a shock.
There was no chance to rebuild there because you had this young team that you were thinking like, okay, here we go. And it fell flat.
But in now, years,
I think after 2 or 3 years,
right.
Yes.
In years since, they should have definitely, you know, restarted a little bit and then also not drafted someone that was a big maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Anthony Richardson can't be anything, but through 2 years, he's only played 10 games, and it seems like he's not gelling with the organization or whatever is happening there just isn't working right.
I am frustrated, though. I really want to see him play the Bills.
Yeah.
Because he was a prospect I really liked coming out of Florida, because I'm always going to draft the freak. If you have if you have a good coaching staff, you can get that freak to be, well, what Josh Allen is or what Patrick Mahomes is.
Right, and that's the thing, too. Like,
you know, to a more inconsistent aspect, but from a few years ago, Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And you can then all of a sudden, like, they're the franchise guy, and they cause problems for everybody. And it's just he has not worked even once. You have highlight plays. And for a fantasy owner last year, too, to start the year, he was rushing touchdown after rushing touchdown, passing touchdowns. Even to start this year, he completes, what, 5 passes in week 1, but one of them is a 75-yard bomb. And you're like,
right.
Okay, I can get behind that.
If you can get that a little more isolated, then sure. But the thing is like, there's always one every year since Allen has kind of risen to where he is, and it was Trey Lance a few years ago. It was Anthony Richardson last 2 drafts ago. But there's always a quarterback now that gets compared to Josh Allen. And that's like, it's kind of fun and exciting because it's, hey, the Bills have a player that the rest of the league is looking for, you know? And we've always talked about, you and I lived through the drought where it was just, hey, what are we going to do? and now
the
it's
hopes and prayers of Trent Edwards.
But now it's exciting to see that sort of thing where it's like, you know, and it's also fun to see those types of players kind of come into their own, because we saw what happened with Allen where it changed basically overnight in an offseason. But I think what's different between Allen and guys like Trey Lance and Anthony Richardson is they came in with those comparisons, with those expectations, but then they never put in the work in the offseason or had the right people say, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. Let's address this. Let's fix it. Allen did. Allen actively seeked out people in the offseason with Carson Palmer, and completely changed his throwing motion.
I wonder, too, though, you put it like the right people around them, but also like for both Trey Lance and Anthony Richardson, and we'll get to your tweets here in just a second, and we're also taking your calls, 803-0550, the number to call. If you want to give a vibe check here as the Bills get ready to take on the Colts, look at both those players. The limited amount of game time they had in college, the limited amount of snaps, and then not being able to really play or figure it out. Like, I think they actually are very similar in the sense of an injury, and then basically their team was like, we're done. We cannot wait for you.
Yeah.
Trey Lance, he was incredibly raw, barely played at North Dakota State, did not help either that COVID ruined the FCS season, so he got like essentially a showcase game, and that was about it.
I mean, look at the numbers between Allen and Richardson in college. So Richardson played 3 years at Florida. He had 3,105 passing yards, 24 passing touchdowns, and played a total of 24 games. Allen, in 3 years at Wyoming, played a total of 27 games, but had 5,066 passing yards, 44 touchdowns, 28 of those in one season.
And this is the thing, too. Like, he fully started 2 of those years.
Right. And also,
he was going to start 3 years, but he gets hurt, I think, game 1 against Eastern Michigan. And then
he played two games in 2015.
Okay, 2 games.
So, yeah. But the other important thing to note here is look at the way their teams played with that quarterback. Anthony Richardson threw 393 pass attempts. Josh Allen threw 649.
Which is crazy because that was a big thing coming out of Allen, is that his team didn't throw the easy throws. It was a very quote-unquote pro style. He didn't get the bubble screens that Baker Mayfield got and stuff like that. And that was a thing too, because I think Baker then had like double Allen's passing attempts. So then, yeah, you look at Richardson's and you're like, that's not good. And I know there's been a big talking point now in draft circles about quarterbacks coming out, too, of like, if you haven't started for 2 years, don't come out of college. Stay in and start another year, because teams, whether it's right or wrong, are not willing to wait for you.
Yeah.
Again, like the Trey Lance thing, too. He doesn't play his rookie year. then is going to come in, play his sophomore year, breaks his ankle, and that's it. I mean, it's effectively it.
Right. And it's also, if you look at Richardson too, I know, you know, he only played three less games than Allen,
mm-hmm.
but one, COVID could have had an impact on this because in 2020 was his freshman year. He played four games that year. You know how many passes he threw?
Like 15.
Two.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
In four games, he threw two passes. Now, I don't know if it doesn't say if he started or it just says he played in the game.
Yeah, I think he was.
So it could have
like
been later in those.
I think that's a rushing package that they had for him.
Right. So, but still, you play in four games, you only throw two times as a quarterback. That's not great, regardless of what you're going into the game for. Like, it's just your team is not using you the way you should be utilized. Next year, he plays eight games, throws 64 passes in eight games.
Mm. The
year after,
he used as a thrower.
Here's the massive jump. In 2022, his sophomore season, technically, because COVID and everything gave him an extra year of eligibility if he would have stayed, he played 12 games and threw 327 passes. That's a massive jump from 64.
And it's still not even that much.
No, but it's just crazy to look at some of these numbers. Like
that's
the way
too, like
it
he, that's his
broke
only
down.
Year of starting. He plays four games in 2020, starts none of them. He plays in eight games in 2021. He only starts one. And then, yeah, in 2022, he starts all 12 games that year. They go 6-6. The colleges, you see it too, they're not there really to develop you. It's the ugly truth. They're there to win games now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great. It's not ideal, but it's also why situations like Arch Manning at Texas are so weird that he's actually staying. And I do mean that as like, I'm happy Texas is doing it. I also know Arch is a different cat than most other guys.
Yeah.
Those guys would have left already because I need to go start now.
He's also in a different situation too because of the fact that he's highly regarded as such a good prospect in terms of what he can do.
Yeah.
He's someone where I think he'll stay in college for like two more years.
It does sound like, just from everything how the Mannings have talked, that he will then play for 2 years. He'll play next year and then he'll play the year after.
Yeah.
And to be fair, yeah, you have the Manning family around you. They'll probably dictate it perfectly because I know Peyton Manning talked about like being very frustrated at himself for not just, as he put it, you know, just taking a deep breath, walking around. He was running everywhere. And then his senior year, he was kind of able to just relax.
I mean, you have
just
two,
play football.
You have two Hall of Famers as your uncles. I think you're going to be fine.
Eli Manning, I think started for 2 years, but played for or had starts within 3 years.
Yeah.
Manning started his freshman year as well. Arch will start his redshirt sophomore year, and then probably play 2 years, and then he'll take the jump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a weird spot they're in. I think it's the most fascinating thing about the Colts. It's why I'm also frustrated Anthony Richardson's not playing. I don't care to watch 39-year-old Joe Flacco play for the Colts, especially when I'm looking ahead to Kansas City next week. It's like that's the game I actually want to watch. I think the Bills will be 8-2. I know there's some worries. We'll get to these tweets after a quick timeout, but real quick here, Joshua, definitely not overlooking, could go either way. If Coleman and Cooper are good to go, let's go. But if either one of them is unavailable this week, he thinks it's going to be a slugfest, especially if the defense can't slow down the Colts running attack. I think they can. I think a lot of it comes down to just how good is the Colts passing game going to be? I think that's a big, if the Bills are able to just zero in on get to Flacco, get to the run game, you'll be fine. He's not going to throw the ball nearly as fast as Tua, and he has zero escape ability like a Lamar Jackson does. And I think that's going to be the major difference here, is that there is no special attribute their quarterbacks have. For everything that we complain about Tua or, you know, give him crap for, the man gets the ball out quick and he puts it right where he needs to. If you take him off his rhythm, it's another thing. But if he gets it out fast enough, he's good. And then Lamar, of course, is a Josh Allen-level athlete, if not more so, that can just make magic out of nothing. And then, of course, Derrick Henry is a one-of-one running back. He just simply is. He's on pace for another 2,000-yard season, which I think he might be the first running back in NFL history to have two 2,000-yard seasons. I mean, It's something else, and I don't put the Colts in that category. I love Jonathan Taylor, I do, but even talking with Kevin Bowen yesterday, his rushing numbers when Joe Flacco is in go down compared to Richardson. And that's my thing too. If Richardson was playing, I'd be more scared. Even with his inefficiency, even with the fact that he doesn't complete a high volume of passes, his running ability, his escapability, his size, the arm, that scares me more than Joe Flacco would. 803-0550 is the number to call. Got to take our first time out here.
Sal Capaccio will join the show in the 11 o'clock hour. Didn't really get much of an injury update on Keon Coleman. It's still pretty up in the air. I'm more of a glass half empty kind of guy when it comes to that, but we will see. Vibe check on the Colts. We'll read your tweets, get to your calls after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.